Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we commemorate the passing of our brother and our sister in Christ, Gordon and Velma Deal. I'm going to read the combined obituaries of these two Christians. You can find that towards the back of your service folder. Velma May Deal, I'm starting with her because she was born before Gordon. Velma was born April 9th, 1920, God's gift to Les and Ruby Grimm of Orofino. She was the third of seven children, the only girl, which meant she had to wear a lot of pink dresses, which of course earned her the enduring nickname Pinky. I never called her Pinky. Velma graduated from Lewiston High School and then went to business college to learn bookkeeping. Early on, she married Russell Dodson, who died in 1943 while in the service. She then married Art Woodruff, who then also died. Then in 1960, the Lord blessed her with another gift in holy matrimony. But more about that in a minute. Gordon Abraham Deal was born on February 12, 1922, in Huron, North Dakota, God's gift to Oscar and Emma Deal. Because of the Dust Bowl conditions in the Dakotas at that time, the family was forced to move, and they traveled to Dixie and Walla Walla, Washington. From there to Lewiston and Orofino area. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:24, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." The Lord had a great gift in mind for these two when he brought them together in the holiest state of matrimony on February 17, 1960. The Almighty blessed them with over 50 years of life and love together. Throughout their lives, the Lord continued to provide for their earthly needs in various ways. Gordon and Velma had several professions. Gordon loved working with wood. That's an understatement. Velma often said Gordon had pitch in his veins, not blood. He worked as a sawyer, a college math professor, a butcher, and a policeman. In fact, the story is told of how he even once gave the mayor of Orofino a parking ticket. Velma worked as a bookkeeper for, is this right, Gray Webb Buick? Anybody remember that? Owl Drug. She and Gordon worked together in their later lives and opened Clearwater Saw Shop in Pierce, Idaho. Velma, of course, did the books. Gordon supplied wood for many family members, neighbors, and also for the pastor's residence. Velma was confirmed in the Lutheran faith on November 27, 1980, and Gordon followed suit in 1981 at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lewiston, Idaho. The Reverend Riedel, a vacancy pastor from Spokane Valley, officiating. Gordon and Velma were members here at St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Clarkston. Through the years, the Good Shepherd fed them with the green pastures of his powerful word, as well as the nourishing forgiveness of sins found in the real presence of his body and blood under the bread and wine of Holy Communion. Gordon served as the treasurer for a number of years, and Velma enjoyed participating in the many duties of Our Lady's AIDS group. As most of you know, both Gordon and Velma suffered from an assortment of illnesses, Parkinson's and Alzheimer's, to name two, and it wasn't always easy. But these two had faith in their powerful God's promises, and he didn't let them down. The Lord picked the day and time to deliver his blood-bought souls from this veil of tears. On Friday, January 7, 2011, at St. Joe's Hospital in Lewiston, the Lord, in his good and gracious timing, called Gordon to his eternal rest and reward. The length of his earthly pilgrimage was 88 years, 10 months, and 26 days. 2 years later, on January 11th, 2013, the Lord, in his good and gracious timing, called Velma to her eternal rest and reward. The length of her earthly pilgrimage was 92 years, 9 months, and 2 days. They leave behind yet in this time of grace a son, Steve and Marie Dodson of Lewiston, a daughter, Dana Werner and of Burley, Idaho, and a nephew, several grandchildren, great-grandchildren, even a few great-great-grandchildren. Velma is also survived by four brothers, Jed, Ray, and Georgia, Dal and Pat, Earl and Barbara Grimm. Gordon was preceded in death by a brother, Galen, and a sister, Betty. Word of God I would lay on your hearts for this memorial, this special occasion, comes to us from the 116th Psalm, verse 15, as follows. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. That is the word of God for our consideration. May the Holy Spirit work through that word to give you his intended meaning and comfort on this day of memoriam. What's your opinion about the war in Afghanistan? Never mind. What's your favorite kind of car? What do you think of Chinese food? What's your view of, and I could go on and on. Isn't it funny how people see things differently? People always have a view on things, on different subjects, and it may not be the same as yours. I'm sure there are many today who have different views about this memorial service, this funeral service. People take funerals differently, and much depends on who you are, a spouse, a son or daughter, a sibling, a grandchild or a great-grandchild. Today, the writer of the psalm gives us a point of view of someone very important, God's point of view. How does God himself look on the deaths of Gordon and Velma Deal? Well, here you have it, all summed up. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Notice the first and the last words of this simple, short verse. Precious saints. I don't know if you'd agree right down the line that these are descriptive words of Gordon and Velma. I think most of us would agree that they are precious, and especially on a day like today, don't we always think back and hold precious in our memories the good things about Gordon and Velma, be they your great-grandparents, your grandparents, your parents, your friends, your brother, your sister? Precious are those memories, aren't they? But we're not talking about our views. We're talking about God's view. The word precious here means very near and dear. It has the idea of costly, honored, kind of like a family heirloom. That's how the Lord views the death of his saints. That's how the Lord right now holds the souls of Gordon and Velma Deal in his care in heaven. He regards it as precious. He regards them both as precious. They are precious to him because he paid a high price for them. And he paid that high price for them because he loved them. You know the verse from John 3:16, you've heard it before, about how God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a beautiful verse from John 3:16. Two verses later in John 3:18, Jesus, in his conversation with a man, a Pharisee named Nicodemus, says that if they haven't believed in the Son, then they're condemned already. So while we have in 3:16 the great gospel message, the Bible in a nutshell, as it were, two verses later we also have a stern warning about those who don't believe in Jesus. Because we really know and we should remember on days like today when we come here to honor the memories of these two, we should know that when it comes to death, there's only two places to go. There's heaven, and then there's hell. Both are very real locations. Both exist. Both are controlled by the judge, by God himself. There is a heaven, there is a hell. And the only way to get into hell, there's only one way. It's not by being a bad person. It's not by doing bad things. It's by rejecting the message of the gospel. It's by turning away from what Jesus has done for us. Mark 16:16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he that does not believe shall be condemned. No one goes to hell for being a murderer or for being a terrible person or committing some great earthly crime. even though we put our different levels of condemnation on those things. Every sin in God's sight is deserving of eternal death and hell. And every sin deserves that. But that's why God sent his Son Jesus Christ, so that he could go to the cross and pay the price for every single sin. His innocent shed blood was the sacrifice necessary to pay the price for your sins and mine, for Gordon's and Velma's. So that as God's dear children, you see, hell holds nothing for you. Hell holds nothing for Gordon and Velma. They're in heaven. It's a sure thing. Their faith in Christ believed in his promises. And the same thing applies to you and to me. And that's why God looks at the death of his saints as precious. It's a good thing. Now, way back in the Garden of Eden, God warned Adam and Eve, who were created without sin and perfect, that they shouldn't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because in the day that they ate of it, they would die. They did, as you know, they fell into sin, and because of that, all mankind has inherited sin. And the devil, with a big grin on his face, thought he had crushed this crown of God's creation and captivated them so that they could never possibly escape. Well, he was right about one thing. Sin did have its hold over us. But God right away made the promise that he would send his Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price of our sins. And in time he fulfilled that promise with Jesus, born in Bethlehem, true God, becoming true man. 100% God at the same time as 100% man, so that he could live a life without sin, which no other human being could do, so that he could actually die, which every human being can do, on the cross. He had to be true God to shoulder our sins. He had to be true man in order to make the sacrifice, his death. All of this was accomplished for us out of God's great love for our predicament, so that he could look at you and me, Gordon and Velma, and say, "Precious, you are my dear children." In Galatians it says, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." That makes us precious in God's sight as his believers. Death, which had separated us from God, and you know, there's three kinds of death, isn't there? There's temporal death that we're gathered here for today to remember. That's a separation temporarily of our loved ones from us. There's also spiritual death, that's unbelief, and there's eternal death. So that's three. But all of those three kinds of death are nullified by what Christ has done for us. He conquered death. And that's what we're here to remember today, that Jesus has conquered death for Gordon and Velma, so that he could say about them and comfort us as we go on with our lives, "Precious in my sight are the death of Gordon and Velma, my saints." Saints is another tough word that people have problems with sometimes. You know, large part of it has to do with a misunderstanding of what a saint really is. My confirmation class is when I teach our young people here about what a saint is. I say, "Okay, all of you who are saints, raise your hands." And of course, they're all very humble and no one raises his hand. But it really, every believer everywhere is a saint. That's what the Bible's definition of what a saint is someone who believes in God, who's been given that saving gift of faith that grasps God's promise. Do you know about faith? That extra hand? Faith works like this. It's not a work that you do. It's a gift that God gives you, right? "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." Those passages from Ephesians. So think of faith like an extra hand. That God creates this gift, it's called faith. What he does is he gives it to you through his word, puts it on your heart. So when his word comes by, when the Bible comes by, your faith grasps it, believes it. Believes John 3:16. Believes Mark 16:16. Believes all of the passages of Scripture. Your faith believes. And your faith is the ticket that gets you to heaven, because that your faith causes you to believe in the forgiveness of sins in Christ. Your faith is what makes you a saint. Again, the first and last words of this simple verse, "Precious saints." How do I know the Bible says you're a saint and I'm a saint? Simply because we've been given the faith to believe? There's a plethora of passages. How about Romans 1:7? To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. 1 Corinthians 1:2. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Ephesians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus. Now that wasn't one or two or three people. That was all the believers. Philippians 1:1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi. Well, that wasn't one or two people. That was all the believers. A saint is someone who believes in Jesus, and precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, because God has conquered death. And God uses this thing called death just to get his saints, his precious ones, ushered into that final reward, heaven, which he has laid up for them. That's what death is for us now. It's not a, you know, certainly death, temporal death, when we're separated from our loved ones, causes us mixed feelings, doesn't it? We grieve because we know we won't see them tomorrow or the next day here on earth. But we rejoice in what Christ has accomplished, knowing that we will see what God has done for them on that great and final day, and then for the rest of eternity. Just like we sang in Amazing Grace, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining like the sun, we've no less years to call our... I can't remember the words now, but than when we first begun. So 10,000 years, that's a blink in eternity. Think of all those years we'll spend reunited with all, not only Gordon, Velma, but with all of our loved ones who have died in Christ. That's what we get to look forward to. That's the deliverance that our loving God has given to us in his Son, Jesus Christ. And meanwhile, while we're here, Jesus promises always to be with us. In the 23rd Psalm, which most of you know, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," right? That one passage in the middle, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." That's what we're doing today, isn't it? We're walking, once again, through this valley of the shadow of death. Gordon and Velma have died. But remember in that verse, it's called the shadow of death. It's not the real thing anymore. It has no hold on us. Just like a shadow can't hurt you, the death itself has been turned into a shadow that merely serves us. God uses death to bring us to life. Our time is in his hands. So now, I have to ask you the question. If you would die today or tomorrow or this coming week, would your death be precious in the sight of the Lord? You can answer that with a resounding yes. How? Through this passage. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Do you believe in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins? Then you are one of the precious souls whom the Lord has delivered from all the consequences that our individual sins have earned during our lifetime. They stand forgiven. You see, one of God's declarations because of what Jesus did on the cross was to declare you not guilty. It's a declaration, and he's the judge. The devil can't gainsay him. If the devil were to come up and say, "Yeah, but I remember when Gordon or Velma did this and that in their life, and that wasn't exactly Christian," he can't say that, because God has declared them not guilty of their sins, like he has all of his dear children. That doesn't mean that God knows you're guilty and he forgives you anyway, like a doting father would forgive a wayward child. Oh no. God paid the heavy price to forgive you your sins, and has completely guaranteed that now he sees you as never having sinned through the merits of your Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what the Christian faith is all about. That's what our comfort is today for the rest of our lives. That's our certainty, the hope of heaven that awaits each one of us, God's precious saints. So we remember Gordon and Velma Deal. We memorialize them. We have good memories of them. But think of God's view. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Amen.